Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are still covering our daily coverage at this stage of the COVID-19 outbreak. I'm delighted to be joined again remotely. And folks, I'm going to post a picture later. When you say remotely, he looks like he's just come out of the Tora Bora Mountains.
I'm in a cave here in Tora Bora, Tony.
You really do look—it's absurd. But anyway, Martin, how are you keeping?
Not too bad, not too bad. I hope everybody out there is keeping well as well. I see people are taking it more seriously, Tony, which is good.
Yeah. I suppose we do have to start with the speech. It was perfectly adequate. It was a perfectly good speech. There was, you know, a few cliches and a few one-liners and a bit of Churchill thrown in. And, you know, he's had some good speech writers, whether people credit them or not. You know, there's been some good speech writers and I think, you know, the bar is quite low. And I mean this, like, Leo Varadkar, for all our knocks on him, give me him talking any day above Boris Johnson.
I know. And I see that being said quite a bit, but like, if you're going to keep looking at Boris Johnson as your bar, I'd be looking at Macron as your bar. Macron is your bar.
Yeah, I think, the man is a caretaker Taoiseach. He's in a difficult situation. I think the fact that he's lost the election maybe has given him the most freedom he's had in a long time. However, I will say, it was a bit vague. There was very light on actual
measures,
steps.
Tony,
yeah,
measures.
And that's what it's missing. And like, hopefully, you know, we've seen they're looking for that emergency legislation. It's going to pass through. We've seen, you know, people pointing out there are some flaws in it in terms of if this crisis goes beyond kind of 3 months. But, you know, again, the calls now for a national government must be almost overwhelming, really.
Now, if I can, about the speech, Tony, this call for unity, this call for people to work together doesn't follow through on government formation. And I think that's a big hypocrisy in the speech. You know, all pull together, all do our thing. Well, will you go into national government with the Shinners? No way, you know. So, okay, preach one thing, say another. And my last word on the speech is it should have been given last Friday before the Buckos, who are now beginning to test positive from Cheltenham, showed up. That's when it should have happened.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, again, you know, as I said, it was, I think there was a lot of an element of let's do this on Patrick's Day. There was an element of the theatrical about it.
Well,
and
my view is they squeezed every penny they could out of Patrick's Day. And before the house parties kicked off at 9 o'clock, he came on the TV to shame people out of house parties. I think that's, you know, what did he really do? He shamed people out of having house parties.
A lot of people got some reassurance from it. Now, I would argue that a lot of people, sadly, who were the most vulnerable and the most affected, got nothing from it because they're already in overcrammed accommodation and they can't self-isolate or they're suffering. Like, you have to put everything into context of 10 years of Fine Gael has brought us to the point where we are desperately in struggling with just the mechanics of our society. And then, you know, so he gets credit for a few minutes, but look, you know, sadly, this epidemic is coming. I don't envy anybody who's in leadership at the moment. It's a horrible place to be, but nonetheless, you're in the position. So we need action. Can we bring it on to what we've seen? The case numbers, as I think it's going to double every 5 days.
Double every 5 days. Yeah. That's the way the case numbers are working.
So as we saw yesterday, it's gone up again and it'll go up again this evening. And this is the track we on. We're seeing, a celebrity, who's got a coronavirus thing sort of kicking off now, which is a little disheartening in many ways. There's almost a corona industry building up in many ways.
Well,
you know, I've
you
seen.
Know, there wasn't, somebody mentioned that when this started, just started, the lid started to lift on it and said, you know, this is going to catch capitalism flat-footed because they don't know how to monetize it yet.
Well, I'm pretty sure that we're only a week away from coronavirus in association with John West or something. You know, I think this is where it's going.
When you look to leaders around the world, Tony, Johnson is probably on the last rung of the ladder. Then you have Trump is on the second last rung of the ladder. Now I'm talking about Western countries. And then when you come to Europe, Hungary's a bit slow, Ireland's a bit slow, and then you come to Spain, you come to France with Macron. Macron really pulled out the stops. What we're seeing now is people who are in leadership positions and have been for quite a while, are they actually leaders? And I would say Macron has come out, and I'm kind of surprised by him. He's come out. He's a strong leader. Johnson, weak.
No, the whole thing about Macron is, look, you have to put it again, put everything in the context of his leadership. He was facing every weekend riots on the streets with the Gilets Jaunes. If he didn't come out with a huge package for this, you know, he's already got civil unrest. You know, this isn't just, the term existential threat gets used too often, but this is an existential threat. You know, and people actually misunderstand what existential threat means. It doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means the end of the previous world. You know, we move on to another iteration of what we are. And this is going to be that paradigm shift. And we hope that the likes of this, you know, when you say we talked earlier before we hit record about, you know, the role of the EU, the ECB, the European Investment Bank. Yeah. Are they going to turn on the tap? Are they going to bail out people? Are they going to support jobs? Are they going to create those things? Macron took steps that showed that the money won't matter. The debt to GDP ratio thing goes out the window. All of those fiscal compacts.
Point. Yeah, that's the big point.
And that's what we need to see in Ireland, because we need these hundreds of thousands of jobs that are vulnerable or will be lost, that these people will be supported and brought back into the workforce, because the economy can come back very quick. You know, these things can.
The Chinese economy, okay, was it back up to about 80% of where it was before?
Within 3 months, once they started taking the draconian measures, they went back 63% within a few weeks.
Yeah. See, it's all down to your lockdown. And I mean, it is inevitable. I know that they're trying to get the legislation through. And Thursday seems to be kind of the date they've told everybody to get home by Thursday. And that seems to be the case. I'm feeling for a lot of workers out there, Tony, an awful lot of workers in non-essential services who are going into work without protective equipment, who are dealing with something that nobody really knows how to handle. And I am feeling for them. And I'm like, you know, there are many, many workers who would like to stay at home for their own safety, but they can't. And that's wrong. That is wrong.
I agree. Non-essential services need to be
shut
down.
Clampers clamping nurses' cars.
Nurses and doctors' cars.
Clampers are non-essential. Non-essential workers. Do we really need clampers out clamping nurses' cars at this present moment in time? It's counterproductive.
Once you mentioned the doctors and nurses, I think we have to give a shout out to the Feed the Heroes campaign, which just started off as a GoFundMe and wanted to raise, what was it, 120
that was
quid
Gavin,
and has
was it?
No, but he's been involved in pushing it all right.
Yeah.
Gavin Sheridan's been involved in pushing it all right, but it's I think it's surpassed something like 40,000 at this stage, or maybe it's gone beyond that. But that was the last time I checked; it hit over €40,000 raised. You know, you'll find it online. It's you'll see hashtag Feed the Heroes. But you know, we're seeing all these acts of social solidarity. We're seeing people rallying around. I saw Andrea from Social Fabric podcast saying that, you know, work is slow for him just given the period of what he does and how he's isolated, and volunteering then in the local area to help out with other things. You know, there's lots of positives in this. I think the problem is going to be, as you know, as the numbers skyrocket and they're starting to, it's going to leave people, you know, fear might creep in. Well, and what we need...
Without a doubt, Tony, without a doubt, the numbers are still relatively small. But when you understand the growth pattern on this thing, they're going to get so big so fast. I mean, you're talking 15,000 in a month, you're talking 90,000 one week later. I mean, the jump from 15,000 to 90,000 is a week. The fear factor is there, and there's a big sadness factor for, and it's been pointed out to me quite a bit, there's a huge big sadness factor for people in this, and there is. Families are separated, they're not getting to see their loved ones, and that sadness is going to increase as this gets worse and worse, and we will all know somebody, and that's the big thing. We'll all know somebody. There's no shame involved in getting this disease. There's none at all. I mean, the notion that anybody's afraid of saying, I have this. People are posting it quite freely up on social media that they have it. This is, you know, there was that fear at the beginning that you can't report where or who because they might feel stigmatized. But I think some of our strengths are we're very strong on a county level in this country, and if we even had numbers county by county, it would help people to focus. And you know, Leitrim will say, well, we'll be the best county, and Laois will say, no, we will be the best county at social distancing and making sure our numbers come down. And I think we need to play into that psyche of Irish people, that we are very motivated by competition between us at a county level.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot that can be done in terms of, you know, getting public buy-in and getting people to feel that social solidarity. And the other thing is, though, this is here not just for the short time. Like, I mean, that was the admission of the speech, that this is months. You know, there's the schools aren't going back on the 29th of March. That's not happening. And I'm not trying to say that with any definitive thing other than, like, when you look at the things that they're actually putting in place, you know, when you see the European Championships, the Euro 2020 now is Euro 21.
You
see the entire NBA season suspended, you see the NCAA, the most money-hungry association in American sports, walking away from $1 billion of TV money.
And
you know,
talking about sport is going to be the new sport for the next several months. Is talking, you know, that is the new sport. And I'll just give us a little plug on that. We have Ewan McKenna coming in to do a podcast with us now, starting off, and he will be talking sport, and there is no other sport happening, so you might as well tune in and listen to Ewan, you know.
Yeah, the sport will be shouting at your podcast player. That'll be the sport.
That is the new sport, is going to be talking about sport. And I know, like, people we know are suffering greatly from not having any sport to distract them from the grind of real life. There are a lot of sadness for people in a lot of different ways. I remember a report at one stage I read that 30% of men in the UK said life wouldn't be worth living without sport. So, you know, they're big figures of people who have real interests in stuff. I think we're beginning to see social isolation. Actually, people are beginning to work it better than they have been. Still some outliers out there, still some people walking around in groups and stuff like that. And, you know, it just has to stop. It just has to stop.
I think I mentioned online the nearest Aldi to me opens at 8 a.m. And it is like supermarket sweep when the doors open, they have the trolleys and ready to go. Like I only needed a couple of small things, but of course, in your head, you're going, I better grab a trolley anyway. And then there's like four things in the trolley. And this woman nearly killed me because I was within 2 meters of her with my trolley. She literally lifted me out of it and she said, social distancing. I was like, okay.
And we will see more and more of that creep in. It's shifting from, do we really have to do this, to keep your bloody distance?
Yeah,
you know, and that's good. People need to start to be more assertive about their health and safety. And that, I think, also has to extend on to non-essential workers, need to be more assertive about their health and safety.
Aidan Regan made another point, and he's been making the same point pretty much for a long time online today, where he said, you know, the EU needs to make sure that, you know, fiscal stimulus is turned on, and that they don't care about, you know, the fiscal compacts and the rules, the debt to service ratio, and, you know, and the message needs to be clear that there will not be a price put on saving lives.
Yeah,
and
if they managed, I mean, they're not going to clear the whole globe. And I didn't really like that about the speech, that we can't stop it, we can only slow it. Yeah, China is effectively stopping it. So yes, it can be stopped, and I think that you have to make that your bar, you have to make that your goal, that it can be stopped, because that's when you'll get your economy back again. They're going to clear it country by country, and we'll try and get Europe back up and going again, but it could be 18 months, 2 years before the rest of the world is in the same place that Europe
Just to give the mainland China had only 13 new cases in 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And only one in the province where it started, Tony.
And then to put that in context, Spain is closing all hotels and tourists are advised to return home.
Yeah.
Nicola Sturgeon has said that Scotland is going to close its schools. She cannot commit to whether they'll be open again before the summer holidays.
Yeah, and it's a really tough time for parents up north, Tony. Really tough time. Yeah. You have the government working against their best interests. And I really do feel for them. You know, if it was my kids, I'd just make the decision, say, right, no, that's enough.
Well, they really keep talking about the fact that they need to balance the risk to the economy versus this. And it just seems to be playing with fire. Just again on the headlines, the number of cases has now surpassed 200,000, and the deaths are now at 8,000.
Yes.
You know, these levels now are, you know, beyond anything that people could process. And everybody we talk to now is saying, you know, we're 12, 18 months of this, and there will be a second go round again of this as well. So,
well, I know they're trying to move on a European wide basis, but we have some great strengths within Ireland in the fact that we can do isolation better than anybody else. I mean, if we knew county by county how this disease is within counties, we could look at maybe Leitrim and say, well, you know, work should continue as normal in Leitrim, but, you know, Dublin's locked down or whatever it is. But the macro picture, I think, no battle plan survives the first engagement. And I think the WHO have come out pretty much and said that their battle plan didn't survive the first engagement. And now it's step up what you're doing, move faster, test, test, test. You got to do all these things and you got to do it really quickly. And I was very impressed about making decisive, immediate decisions. You know, I'm a big believer, make your decision and move on. We seem to be spending an awful lot of time deliberating about decisions instead of just making decisions. I mean, I've mentioned before, should low-risk prisoners be allowed out? Yes, it's a very easy decision. Then we have the student protest in Trinity because they're being evicted from their digs in Trinity. And I asked, what was the picture there? And I was told, well, look, it's very overcrowded. It's communal areas. It's very difficult to monitor. Well, that's a no-brainer. No-brainer. And it's all about what's best for you. If you're safer at home, go home. It's that simple.
I'm looking in the last few minutes. The Donald has said, by mutual consent, temporarily closing the border with Canada.
Yes. Well, that was going to come because Trudeau is not going to let them come across the border at the rate they're.
That's what I've said. By mutual consent, yeah, Canada says
that was,
no.
That was Trudeau saying, keep your infested people your side of that line. That's what it was.
There's still a large cohort of the US, unfortunately, that are getting their news from situations and don't understand. You know, there's still people saying stuff like this is just the flu. Look, we're going to continue to do these pods for as long as we can. We, as Martin said, we're hoping to grow the tortoise shack as it is. We've probably picked the worst time in the history of the world to try and expand. It's pretty difficult, I have to tell you. And we do need support. Like, it's just that simple. If we come through this, Martin, it'll be great. Honestly.
Now, just in advance, I've already bagged Port Marnock Beach for the summer. I'm laying claim to it. It's mine for the summer, so the rest of you can stay away. Look, we can certainly get through this. There's nothing stopping us getting through this. But it's how quickly we can get through it and how quickly we can recover from it. And I think we've got to look at the Chinese example and say, look, the quicker you lock everything down, the quicker you can start everything back up again. We're an island of 6 million people. Act as one. We'll get rid of this and we will move on. But, you know, these delays, just got to get on top of everything. Pascal was going in to talk to the banks earlier on. No, Pascal should be going in and laying down the law with the banks. We bailed you out. This is the way it is for the next 3 months.
Listen, folks, mind yourselves. Keep an eye on the hsc.ie/conditions/coronavirus. There's the free phone number there. The testing facilities are ramping up. We saw at Croke Park now, and there's 9 more sites coming online. I was talking to other people who I know who have tested positive recently. You know, mind yourselves. Don't be responsible for spreading the virus, and make sure that we're doing our best to deliver as much as we can. We all have our part to play.
Yeah, and take care of each other as well. Do take care of each other.